You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. The chance where your dink isn't perfect. Well, we're going to get a chance to see that dink at the Beach Bash. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
I would like to lodge a formal complaint.
That he's staring at your mouse?
He's staring right at my mouse.
You bet I am, and you like it. Our amazing producers. How about RJ Santillo?
Ilya Yabushkin.
The very handsome Raymond Santiago.
I've made a conscious effort not to.
Of course you have. Big shout out to the companies. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776. Dave is clearly busy. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today.
Not to pump our own tires.
But I will toot our own horn. Yankees dropped the final game of their series with the Marlins. That's Miami's second win of the season. Yankees head to Cleveland for a three-game set that starts on Friday. Mets were postponed down in Atlanta. Kodai Senga was put on the 60-day IL. The Knicks clinched the playoff spot with Miami's loss to Dallas. They're back in action tonight in Boston against the Celtics team that has pretty much most of their team listed as questionable to play. We have some Aaron Rodgers sound that RJ was laughing about this morning. The Masters gets underway this morning. Defending champion John Rahm is scheduled to tee off at 10:30. Scottie Scheffler, 10:42. He's in a group with Rory McIlroy. Tiger Woods this afternoon at 1:24. We have the now pumpkin pie free Mel Kiper at 7 a.m. And as always on the Thursday at 7:45, we have an observation that didn't happen in Florida. A big time station ID at 8. RJ's world famous bleep you missed around 9:15. But before we get to all of that, there's a man threatening the well-being of not only the Rothenberg estate.
You know what it's like in my house? The Wild West.
But this very station.
We've got to pay the fiddler.
I'm wrong, but your attack is wrong. If you're going to attack me, you need to re-aim your missiles.
Luckily for us, a hero has emerged.
I got Bill Arpus just walking around.
And his sidekick.
Wine connoisseur.
Who is this Bill Arpus?
I'm the fat second thought of the station.
How will you defeat this evil? Could be Fiddler or Kiddler. We're not really sure.
You can think about my wife with George Clooney.
Well, I don't love our chances. Here he is, my Huckleberry, Dave Rothenberg.
That's nice. That had everything, really. It had a little sports flavor. It had comedy. It had drops. That was nice. Good for you.
I'm a little upset.
Why?
Because I had to. We got through that whole thing.
Yeah.
Tara Reid and her bosom popping out.
Yeah, we left that out. Did not know how to fit that in.
You have to fit that in.
I get it. I understand that.
The man called the bosom the bosom.
I know.
Tara Reid and her bosom popping out.
I didn't know how to get that into it.
Yeah, but just throw it in.
I know, but he had two good ones. The conscious effort and then the
connoisseur.
The connoisseur and then the bosom. Yeah. Well,
the bosom is such a good one.
It's evergreen, though. That's not going anywhere.
The bosoms can stand on their own.
Forever. Right? Forever.
I mean, yeah, there's no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a little disappointed with someone involved in the group text last night. One of the five of us. I was like, come on, really?
Who? I don't know.
John Winthrop.
Well, that doesn't surprise
me. Well, because the group text was, Knicks have now clinched a playoff spot. Oh, stop. Who cares?
Well, they did.
I get that, but that doesn't interest me. I was not like, oh, we're teetering on getting into the postseason or not. I knew they were going to be a playoff team.
Well, I mean, what are your expectations for him in the group chat? I mean, he is the same guy who decided that it was a good idea to text us the brooms.
I'll never get over the brooms.
Never.
No.
You can't get up from that.
No.
So I don't have real high expectations for what's coming on that group chat from Winthrop.
Like, if he had texted, Knicks locked in the three, Knicks can be no worse than the five, he'd be like, oh, you know what? That's newsworthy. That's informative. Knicks are a playoff team. I knew the Knicks were going to be a playoff team. That moved the needle none for me that he put that in the group text last night.
No, the needle did not move at all. But listen, he wants to be involved. I mean, hell, he's answering all the questions. I mean, the man has unlimited knowledge.
He does have a lot of knowledge.
A lot of knowledge.
A lot. Whatever topic we get to, he has a lot of knowledge. Speaking of a lot of knowledge, Mel Kiper Jr. on the show this morning, 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Now, RJ told me, I didn't know this. Yesterday, the mock draft we rifled through that Mel put out, that's the last one he's going to do.
I heard.
He will not do another one. So we have that. We'll go into battle with that. And there's something that Mel, not that it's his fault, but he's starting to kind of push the narrative. I don't like it all.
All right, get on him.
No. He didn't do anything wrong.
Well, he's pushing a narrative, you said.
He's pushing an idea. Well, I'll just tell you, we'll get into it later. I don't want to get into a lot now, that the Giants are going to go after Bo Nix.
Yeah, well, that's what he has. Not right, only go after him, trade up for him.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I don't want Bo Nix.
I wouldn't suspect that you would like that.
Yeah, I don't want Bo Nix, so I'm not okay with that.
You're actually hearing, I've heard from, so this was Mel's last mock, apparently, and first time we're seeing him have Giants going up to get Bo Nix. I actually initially saw Bo Nix, we both did, going to Denver.
Yeah, I'd seen that.
Because there's a lot of people that say, hey, you know, he's got tons of college experience and doesn't have a great arm, but great command of an offense would work well with Sean Payton.
Right. So let me ask you this, and then we'll get to the Yankees. That was a rough loss for the Yankees. But again, they're playing so well, it's not the end of the world, certainly. Because I've said it a million times, I'm like, well, if they take Drake Mayer, they take J.J. McCarthy, whoever they take. I believe in Shane and Dable to the point that I can live with whoever they wind up taking. Do I let that extend all the way out to Bo Nix? Or because I'm not a fan of Bo Nix, do I have to sit here and say, I don't like that pick, despite these guys who I do trust going and taking Bo Nix? Therein lies the question.
Well, I think you can be both. You cannot prefer Bo Nix, but I think recognize that Brian Dable is smarter than us, or should be.
No, is.
Is, and there's something that he likes about him and can work with him. And you lean on the fact that he's worked with Josh Allen, you know, what he did down in Alabama. Like, he's had a really good track record working with quarterbacks.
Do you believe...
Even what he did with Tommy DeVito.
Every quarterback he's ever touched becomes considerably better. Do you believe that one of these six quarterbacks will be a member of the Giants 2 weeks from today?
I was thinking about that on the drive-in this morning. And it was not an easy drive because for whatever reason this morning, you know, Rick was not really functioning properly.
Really?
Like to the point where I walked downstairs and I still had my toothbrush in my mouth. No joke.
Wait, you walked downstairs and your toothbrush was still in your mouth?
I walked downstairs, so I was going to get a couple sips of a Celsius to get me going.
Right.
Because I was going to jump on the arc for a little cardio and still had my toothbrush in my mouth.
Interesting. And then you decide to drive yourself right in.
Right into the city.
Your toothbrush out of your mouth.
Oh, and I saw a 18-wheeler on fire.
Fire?
On fire. Mm. Like the beginning stages of a huge problem.
That's exciting.
No, it was not exciting.
Where was that?
It was on the LIE.
Oof.
Coming in.
On the road or is over to the side?
Right over to the side, but it was
the starts of something serious.
It was getting bad.
So, all right. So, toothbrush out of your mouth, LIE, take the... right past the 18-wheel, right, yep, which is on fire. And what were your thoughts about one of these six quarterbacks?
What my thoughts were was, I wonder if any of these kind of top-of-the-draft quarterbacks slide. That was my initial thought, because it feels like we always have...
Which would probably only be May or McCarthy, right?
No, it feels like Caleb Williams is going one,
that,
and
he's
Daniels
going one.
Is going two.
Yes.
And then, depending on what the Patriots want to do. I just don't understand, if you're the Patriots, how you don't draft a quarterback with a third overall pick.
Right.
Unless you get a deal you can't say no to from whoever it is, Minnesota, maybe even the Giants, whatever it ends up being. So that was my initial thought.
Because if you like the quarterback and you need a quarterback, even if they offer you the sun and moon, you have to kind of
get
stick
it, but
what,
they also
what
need
it is
a,
you need to do.
They also need a lot.
They do need a lot.
They need a lot. Well, that's everyone's argument. Why shouldn't the Giants draft the quarterback at six? Well, they need a lot. Well, doesn't that, doesn't that start with the quarterback, though?
Once you have the quarterback, needing a lot becomes a lot easier. When you have the quarterback that's really good, all of a sudden all these blemishes and problems with your team look a lot better. Like a bad offensive line doesn't look so bad when the quarterback's good. Mediocre receivers are better than mediocre when the quarterback's really good. I mean, you see what the good quarterbacks are capable of doing.
A really poorly run organization all of a sudden now looks like a very functional organization.
I.e. the Cincinnati Bengals.
How about the Houston Texans?
Yes.
They were a dumpster fire.
It can happen like that. So, all right. So, is that what you're thinking about?
So that no, those were my initial thoughts.
Right.
And then knowing that we would be talking about the Giants today, I have a hard time believing that they don't find a way to get a quarterback.
I think they're going to take a quarterback.
I mean,
first
it's just
round,
the
second
way,
round.
What a perfect situation would be is that Daniel Jones had stayed healthy, was really good, and you're not even worrying about this. Like, this is even a question. And you continue to build with Daniel Jones because he was the sixth overall pick. But that didn't happen. He got hurt. Now you have the sixth overall pick. And the way that Joe Shane structured his deal, you have a chance to get out from under this after this season. So you have him that you're already paying $40 million that can play.
Right.
You brought in Drew Luck, who's a more than capable backup. So there's no real rush to play a young kid. So for all those people that want to call in and say, you can't throw a young kid with this
team.
You're
going to ruin the kid.
Well, you don't have to. That's the beauty of this situation. I can't. If one of your greatest strengths as a coach was your ability to develop a quarterback and work with a quarterback, I would want the opportunity to be...
I agree.
...to pick my guy.
I think that's kind of a no-brainer. I do. All right, so we'll get back to the draft. Of course, Mel at 7 o'clock. Mets rained out yesterday. Last night was a light night in sports for us locally.
Finally.
And I was like, whew, this is great. I mean, Yankees game over well before 10 o'clock. I was able to get to bed at a reasonable hour because tonight... Today, very busy. You got Mets, Braves, a little nooner. Rangers, Flyers. Rangers need this win. Devils, Leafs. Well, that's kind of an irrelevant game. Islanders and Canadians.
Well, you're still looking to see if Austin Matthews can score 70.
Okay, but in the grand scheme.
I'm just saying for hockey fans.
Nothing is actually irrelevant.
No Jack Hughes. He's getting surgery, but I mean.
In the grand scheme of relevance of these games, that would be the one that has the least amount of relevance.
I understand that. I'm just saying.
Well, if you love hockey. Okay, I get anything has relevance. All right. Anything has relevance.
Willie Nylander. I mean,
no, I understand. But I'm sure that there are dozens, hundreds, thousands of Willie Nylander fans listening saying, that's not irrelevant. All right. Islanders, Canadians, great relevance. Islanders need to win that game. And then the Knicks and the Celtics, which is great relevance. And I'd like some information. What are the Celtics going to do?
Everyone's questionable.
Just give me two guys.
Actually, here's another thing I was thinking about on my walk from the parking garage.
You do a lot of deep thought in the morning with you.
For the show.
Nice.
We need content. Do you think that there's any chance that Boston would have all these guys just sit out tonight? I mean, everyone's questionable. Someone's going to have to play, but I mean, you had no Horford or KP the other night.
Right.
Now everyone's listed as questionable. Did a little piece of Boston says to themselves, why not let the Knicks win? Isn't it better for us if the Knicks finish second or third?
And then we don't play them till the
Eastern Conference Finals.
But you think they're worried about the Knicks?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's something you have to think about. Like, which team has the potential to knock us off? If one of those teams is the Knicks, hey, we're trying to rest guys anyway. We're trying to get to the
playoffs.
You're
not going to have to worry about Milwaukee, right? They win last night. They're not going to wind up outside of the three. That might be the one team, if Giannis is healthy, gets back to healthy, that you wouldn't want to play otherwise. I mean, Philly might be one of those teams. You know what's interesting to me is there's a chance that Boston could get Philly or Miami in round one. Like, a real chance of
right.
that.
Right. I'm just saying, like, there's a better chance. Like, why not let someone else... Like, why not have the Knicks or Milwaukee have to go two rounds before we have to see them?
Maybe.
Let someone else do their dirty work for us.
I think that they probably look at it like, we don't care. We're going to do what's completely best for us. And if that's resting or playing Tatum or whatever we want to do, that's what we're going to do. But, yeah, I mean, I guess there's some validity to it. And then the Yankees last night, again, you can't freak out. You didn't lose the series. But, I mean, that Marlins team is bad. And you thought going into that game.
Second win.
You thought going into that game, you got Stroman on the mound, you're going to win this game. And the Yankees, the bats were non-existent for quite some time. Oh, the umpiring was brutal.
Awful.
Again,
awful.
I mean, some of those strike calls on Verdugo, where it's an embarrassment. I said this weeks ago, you're like, well, I don't want to take jobs away. Are we at the point where we can put the automated strike zone in, please?
I told you the other day.
I mean, the umpire's still behind there. He still will hold up the count. He's still going to be calling, plays at the plate. He's not losing his job. It's ridiculous. And the thing that makes it the worst is that box. The box sitting there showing this ball wasn't even close.
Yeah, Verdugo last night. I mean, first one bad, and then finally Boone was like, okay, enough is enough. Because, I mean, you saw Verdugo look over like, hey, could somebody please say something?
And Boone's great about that.
I love when he comes out.
I love it, too. And the players must love it. Our coach completely has
their
back.
The umpires love him because I guess his nickname going around like the umpire circles was Karen Boone. Because
he's a big complainer.
Because he's always acting up.
Right.
Dude, how about, speaking of bad, and this is probably why they only have two wins now. Did you see when Sanchez just took off from second? Did you see that play?
I watched the game. I don't remember that play.
Right. So it was in the second inning.
Right.
Anderson's up, no outs. Sanchez is on second. Ball to right field to Soto.
Right.
Kind of a line drive, sinking line drive maybe, but there's no outs.
He's gone.
No, just took off. Just took off. They're like, does he think there's two outs? Like gone.
Like, so I think I was not watching the game at that point.
He takes a peek and he's.
So was the ball caught?
Of course it was caught.
So double play.
Yes.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Easy double play.
Yeah, that's the thing that drives you crazy.
Yeah, what
drives
you
crazy to any level. Like if a kid. So we're winning a game the other day. Ben's high school team. We're winning like 12-4. And they start to put the reserves in. Kid on second base. Two outs. Pop up to center field. He's tagging up. I'm just like, if I'm a coach, I lose my mind over that. I know you don't play all the time. There's two outs. When the ball is hit, you run. And he's just standing there on second, waiting to tag up.
Vogelback did it the other day.
It's
hit in front of him on second, he takes off. Well, what are you doing? Like, you know that's
so
not...
So it's hit to short, and he... Oh, I saw that.
You saw it.
And he caught him in a pathetic rundown.
Yes.
Yeah. That was against the Yankees.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I brought it up. I'm like, what are you... Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. And that was a rundown treat. Right? He's like, I'm out.
Right.
I'm not getting involved in this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere.
Dave. I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
The Giants, you have Daniel Jones, who I like, but can they count on him long-term, short-term, coming off injury? Obviously, the offensive line's going to be better, and you had Malik Nabers at 6.
Going to take a shot to the end zone, and Nabers comes up with it!
But then you go up and get Bo Nix, and I think for Brian Daboll, it would be his guy.
Here's Nix on the move and launching downfield. Franklin's got it!
And it would be Daboll and the GM guy, which is what the NFL is all about.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR with you, the big 7 o'clock hour. Today's 7 o'clock hour, it's bigger than it normally is because we, in the leadoff spot, now batting number one, Mel Kiper Jr. Good morning, Mel. How are you?
I thought you were going to say Gunnar Henderson, but I'm okay with that.
You know what? You want to talk a little baseball with us? You're a big Orioles fan, aren't you?
No, you would lose a lot of listeners, believe me.
No. I think you bring listeners to the table no matter what you discuss. So You've upset me. Not that you've done anything, but I personally, I want your take on it and how realistic it is the Giants would go ahead and do this. In your latest mock, you have the Giants moving up to 33, first pick of round two, and taking a guy that I'm certainly no scout, but just in watching him, I don't love Bo Nix. So do you believe there's real credence the Giants could potentially take him? And what are your thoughts on Bo Nix, the quarterback?
Well, yeah, just to say, going back, I mean, I heard people say, I don't know how Drew Brees is going to make it in the NFL at 6'5" with a mediocre arm, and playing for Joe Tiller kind of made him at Purdue, and I heard all those things. That, I'm not saying he's going to be Brees because I hate comps, but that's what I was hearing about Drew Brees. That's why he was the first pick in the second round. And the bottom line is, Bo is a kid who I'm with you. I have him at 35. On the board. So, to me, to trade up for a guy, you got 35, you go to 33. But what do you keep hearing? What's the word? That the Giants are going to look at a quarterback? Well, if you're going to look at a quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. has had injuries. Are you going to go that route with Daniel Jones being bothered by injuries? Or are you going to take Bo Nix, who's sturdy, 24 years of age, great processor? To me, I don't know what they're going to do, but somebody's going to be aggressive and go up and get Penix and Nix if they slide into the second round. There's the debate even whether they should be first rounders. So I'm thinking Denver at 12. That's why I had him going a couple weeks ago, and I was told, hey, there's no way he's a second rounder. That's from my guys in the league that I talk to. I don't talk to everybody. I have a couple friends that I trust, and they said put him in a second round. So the bottom line is, guys, I did it for the Giants, did it for the Rams, could have done it for a couple other teams. Unfortunately, Denver, who I wanted to do it for, they don't have a second round pick. So how the hell am I going to give them a guy to move up to the get when they don't have a second-round pick in this draft? They only have the 12th pick, and the 12th pick I thought was too high for Denver. That's why Denver didn't end up with Bo Nix. When obviously, if you give him a 12, why didn't you give him to him? What if they don't have a second-round pick?
Mel, is it only that Michael Penix has the injury history that puts him in the second round?
Well, that and the fact he's not a great off-platform thrower, even though he tested out great athletically. You don't see that when he is pressured. He has to move. So, again, he needs a clean pocket to be really accurate. His accuracy wanes a little bit when he's off-platform. So I think it's a combination of different things, but certainly the shoulder and knees, four injuries at Indiana is one of the reasons why he could drop into the late first, early second. And just to go back on Denver, I think, is a team that could trade off a 12 if they don't love, say, a Quinion Mitchell, move down, and then they let Philadelphia go up and get the corner, and then end up with a couple second-round picks, and then be able to package something to go up and get Nix or have him sign. So Denver could still end up creatively with him, but, I can't go all that nonsense in a two-round mock. But, in terms of where we are right now with the quarterbacks, guys, could Penix be a one? Yes, he could. Could he drop into the early second? Sure, he could. So there's fluidity with both Nix and Penix Jr., which makes him very difficult to project.
So are we living in a world where we could have six quarterbacks taken in round one? Is that realistic or is that kind of unrealistic?
I'd say that to me, I'd bet against that. Based on what I'm hearing, and what you do with this stuff, guys, you talk to your friends in the league and you get their opinions. It's not based on ratings. This is not based on Kuiper's ratings or anybody's ratings when you do a mock draft. This is based on what you're hearing. So it has nothing to do with where I have a guy rated. So this is based on just you trying to build a consensus if you can. And a lot of these players, you can't build a consensus on. It's impossible. I mean, I have him as a fourth rounder. I have him as a second rounder. I have him as a first. I have him as a third. So everybody's kind of all over the place on a lot of these guys. So trying to do that, your head's spinning if you talk to five, six guys about players. So you got to just put it all together, use some common sense, and just put players in a range that you think they can go. These teams aren't taking a lot of these guys. I mean, you can do a two-round mock. How many of those teams are going to take guys we have? Unless you're a psychic, not many. But you're putting them in a range. This guy could go here. If the Giants fans don't like Bo Nix, then look at the guys that are going in the same general area where they were picking. So it gives them an idea when they're trying to figure it out for themselves. That's what we try to do. When I did the draft, where I try to provide as much information as possible to let fans kind of make their own call. Based on everything that this kid's done since high school all the way through college.
Mel, I will tell you that I was listening to Brandon Bean do an interview, and he mentioned he does look at your mock to kind of get an idea. Now, it's not going to be, every pick is right, but get an idea of what other teams may potentially do when formulating his board.
Right, they do that. I know they do that. That's to get an idea of the range. Again, it's not with teams. It's a range of where guys will go. It's not about the team taking a player. It's, Kuiper, this one all has this player going in the first round. Like, when I had Roger Rosengarten, it kind of woke people up. Why does Kuiper have Roger Rosengarten in the first round when nobody even has him in the first or second round? So, again, guys guys like that, TJ Tampa from Iowa State, the corner, when you put names out, I don't just throw them out there for no reason. If I hear something, if I feel something, I do it. It goes against the grain. It's kind of a Burt Blylevin curveball is what I always call those types of moves. Todd McShay would say it's a Kuiper stunt. Bottom line is it wakes people up. It shakes the board up a little bit. And it shakes everybody up a little bit, which is what you want to do this time of year.
Mel, any chance one of those top, we'll call it four quarterbacks, slips at all or slides?
No, it slips a little bit or slides? I don't think so, no. I mean, I don't know how far you could say slide. Could one of them slide out of the top six? Hey, this time last year I was telling you Will Levis would be a top five pick. He went in the second round. How'd that turn out? Pretty good for Tennessee, but at the time I looked like an idiot, right? So, again, that's what I could say. If you'd have projected Brock Purdy in the second round, you look like an idiot on draft day. You're pretty daggone good right now, right? So sometimes you really can't worry about where they go and all things like that. But if one of those four quarterbacks slid out of the top group, I would be very surprised.
All right, so in the latest mock that you put out, and you can see it on ESPN.com right now, you have the Giants moving up, Bo Nix, 33rd, top pick of the second round. Are you now of the mindset, because you've been pretty adamant that you think Daniel Jones is still capable, competent quarterback and can be pretty good in this league, but from what you're hearing, are you of the mindset the Giants will take a quarterback in this draft 2 weeks from today?
It seems like it, but that I personally get it. I like Daniel Jones, and I always have. You guys know that. You got to give guys some help. That's why I always said taking a quarterback at six, well, you're hanging Daniel Jones out to dry. You're basically doing what the New England Patriots did to Mac Jones. I guess the Joneses just can't do very good here. Mac Jones got no help. You're not going to get Daniel Jones any help. So that's why Mac Jones is gone after having an outstanding rookie year where he led him to the playoffs and everything looked rosy there, right? Not anymore. You can't let your quarterback. They did it with David Carr. Houston. You can't forget about your quarterback, guys. They're not Superman. So these teams want to blame the quarterback and cut the quarterback, move on from the quarterback. Everybody wants to rip the quarterback. Quarterbacks only be as good as the players around them. So if you're going to put an offensive line that can't protect, they're all late blocking, you can't have the big time receiver. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2018. They haven't had any pass plays, explosive pass plays since Daniel Jones came in. Why? Because they don't have any receivers that can be explosive. So that's why I gave them the most explosive receiver in this draft, which is Malik Nabers.
Mel, how much do you buy into, I was reading a report yesterday that the reason why a lot of people assume the Jets will take Bowers, I've seen draft, just an offensive weapon as opposed to an offensive lineman is because they don't want to draft a backup with the 10th overall pick. Is that kind of why you lean towards Brock Bowers? I have a hard time believing with all the injury concerns. I mean, Tyron Smith always misses time that you wouldn't use that spot to get a tackle.
Well, I'll trade out. I tried to put a trade together there, but I didn't really feel comfortable with who I'd have a team trading up and giving up picks to get. That was my issue. I could see Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold being a guy maybe the Eagles would trade up to get. So I could see going 10 to 22 and then getting a couple second-round picks because the Jets don't have a 2, right? So you could, if you want to move way down to 22 and say, okay, I could still get a Tali Fuaga maybe from Oregon State. I could still get a pretty good lineman at that point. I could get a Brian Thomas Jr. I could get an Xavier Worthy, an Adonai Mitchell. I can get a receiver at that point, right? So you could go that route and move off of 10 and get a couple second-round picks and then still get the receiver. You could get maybe an offensive lineman, Amarius Mims, a really good, potentially an outstanding offensive tackle league, but he's played only 8 games and he's coming off an injury, but he's got a ton of talent. So you could get a guy like that. You could get Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. There's a way they could work it where it go from 10 to 22 and the Eagles have a couple second-round picks, guys. That's a way to get some extra draft choices. So I would say right now I would be surprised if the Jets stayed at 10. I think moving down is their best option. I just couldn't find a dance partner.
All right, so walk me through this. I don't want you to give me your analysis based on what you think will happen. I just want you to give me your analysis based on what you believe. Rank for me, in your mind, right now, quarterbacks 1 through 6 and how you have them ranked.
Well, I have them ranked this way. I've been consistent all the way through. It's obviously Caleb, Jaden, Drake, JJ. Nix and Penix are interchangeable. I'd like Nix a little bit better, but the durability is a concern. And Nix, there's the grows on you the more you watch him. And you talk to him. He's a great interview. I mean, that we had. He's a great kid. I mean, he's 24. He's a mature kid. He processes. He's accurate. He did great things at Oregon. I mean, he can move. Think about Bo Nix. It's underrated, guys. He ain't a statue back there. He's not a pocket. He can run. So that's why I say for Daboll, that Josh Allen, you got a guy here that can move around and can affect the game with his legs. So again, Bo Nix is just this quarterback who sits in the pocket with his average arm and whatever. So I would say Nix and Penix interchange. I'm going back and forth on them. So that's the way I would go with the top six. First four, pretty locked in. Nix and Penix, I go back and forth on every day, but they're basically have the same grade.
Are there any other quarterbacks that you think, Spencer Rattler or anyone, that could sneak up and end up in a second round? In the second round?
Rattler's interesting. Rattler has some guys that think he could be a third-round pick. I don't think second. I think you get into the third, fourth-round area for Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt from Tulane. I'll tell you a quarterback. You know, there's quarterbacks, Keaton Slovis at BYU, moved around from USC to Pitt to BYU. Pratt from Tulane, all he does is win and elevate that program. But I think if you look at the guy who has kind of the arm talent, he just has to be more consistent and has to do a little times the better decision-making, is Spencer Rattler. So if you want to roll the dice on some arm talent, Rattler, who at Oklahoma at one point in time looked like he could be a high pick before it just didn't work out there. Of course, he moved on. But Rattler would be the kind of the guy based on what he did this year at South Carolina.
I think you told us weeks ago, but this is weeks ago now, that you expect this to be an active trade market on draft night. Do you still stand by that? Are we going to see a lot of action trade-wise 2 weeks from today?
I think you'll see some trades. I don't know how many. That's impossible to predict, guys, on trades. But I hope you do, and I hope we have some shockers. You don't want a scripted draft. You don't want to sit there and know what you're getting on Christmas morning 5 days before Christmas, right, or a week or two before Christmas. You would like to be surprised by something. You might want to say, hey, I want this. I hope I get it. You get it. But you got about five or six other things that are surprising. So for me, that's the way I would attack this. Hope that it doesn't go as scripted. Hope that I think one and two are going the way we have it. I think it's Caleb and Jaden. I don't know what New England's going to do. Drake May seems to be the best option, but you hear all kinds of things about J.J. McCarthy. New England kind of holds the cards as to whether this top part of the draft and the draft in general will kind of go against the grain a bit. New England, I think, is a key entity there. And then certainly at five, if we get a trade involving the Chargers, that would shake it up a little bit. And does Minnesota, in fact, move in to get J.J. McCarthy or a Drake May? Say New England takes McCarthy. Then does Minnesota, you would think, Josh McCown coached Drake May in high school, they could move up. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see there. And then the Jets, do they take Bowers? Do they take the offensive lineman at 10? Or do they trade out like I suggest could happen? So I think it's going to be, do the Eagles move up to get the corner? What happens at the end of the first round? Does Penix or Nix, the teams feel the need to go into the late first to get one of those two? There's a lot of intrigue. If there's a surprise early, it throws everything out of whack.
I mean, the Patriots did have success with the Michigan quarterback. You never know. Mel, I should ask you this. I should ask you this before, because you have Malik Nabers. So I know this is kind of where misinformation gets spread and everything else, but some of the stuff coming up about Malik Nabers, have you heard some of that stuff? You know, can't play in a big city, somebody off the field?
No, they call this week kind of liar's luncheon. Everybody gets, what did we hear about C.J. Stroud this time last year? How'd that go?
He was dumb,
so, yeah, we heard all this nonsense. It's all nonsense, a lot of things you hear. There might be a little bit of truth to some things you hear this time when any player could be any. His medical comes out, interview stuff comes out, rubbed the team the wrong way in an interview, did this, did that. Ernie, of course, he told me a long time ago, sometimes it's best to go on vacation in April and come back a couple days before the draft. Because April is, like I say, they always call it the liar season, liar's luncheons take place. You're not getting much of the truth this time. They throw names out. You think you're working all year to let people know what you're doing? No. And you can't a lot of times trust people in the building. So you got to be careful what you say, because there's a lot of people talk, talk, talk. So again, you know, this is a time of the year where I don't put a lot of stock in things like that. No.
All right. Last one. Now, this might be an unfair question, but I know you know everything, everyone. So we have a lot of people that call in when we mention, you know, drafting a quarterback this year, sixth overall pick, whatever it ends up being. And they say, why would you do that now? You have so many needs. Why not wait? What does the quarterback class potentially look like next season?
Well, Shador Sanders, Carson Beck at Georgia. Let's see how some of those transfers do. But those would be the two guys, Shador at Colorado and Carson Beck at Georgia, have the best chance. But, again, they're not in the league with these guys right now. They're not up there with a Caleb. But Jaden became that. Remember, Jaden this time last year was a fourth-round pick. Jaden went from fourth round just like Joe Burrow did. Went all the way up to number one after having not a high grade at all going into that final year. So sometimes surprises happen, but the chalk right now would be, like I say, Shador and Beck. But like I say, those two right now don't kind of excites you like we had with Caleb. They're not a Caleb Williams in 2022. Looked like he was going to be, you know, one of the top quarterbacks of all time, kind of one of the highest grades ever. Then he had the late season struggles, but that, a lot of that was the bad offensive line and not having an elite receiver. So I still think Caleb is special. I really do. And Jaden kind of became that this year, just like Joe Burrow did.
All right. Excellent as always. We appreciate you. We know you're busy, but let's try to do this at least one or two more times before draft day, a couple weeks from today. Good stuff as always, Mel. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Have a great day, man.
All right. There you have it. That is the great Mel Kiper Jr. Hey, I could talk to him for hours on end.
I had like five or six more questions.
Yeah.
I just want to pepper him about everything.
Because I want to know everything.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I'll go to Nobservations if and when I want to go to Nobservations.
These.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Are Nobs.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs?
And this.
Have a nice fight, Mike.
Off. Is Nobservations.
Oh, most certainly is. That pesky weather at Augusta. Rick, you and I were talking about this before the show. This is not part of Nobs, by the way, just a thought.
So Nobs hasn't officially started yet.
Not good for Tiger. Especially if he can't
it's
get
not
his,
great.
If he can't get his round in today. You're talking about playing like, I don't know, 20-something, some odd holes tomorrow.
I can't believe he didn't have morning tea time today, though.
Yeah, they didn't do him any favors anyways. No. So he's going to be playing probably, I don't know.
He's supposed to tee off at just the 124, I said?
Yeah, so now it's... Yeah, he's not going to finish his round.
Doesn't feel like it.
But I don't understand why they wouldn't make it as easy for him as humanly possible.
Like, good question.
Like, isn't he the one person that you would want to be in the best situation?
As far as eyes on televisions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, people... I mean, this is what makes it even more... Listen, I don't care who's playing in it. I love this week. But the fact that you got the live guys back... And you actually have like the best field,
because
you watch some of these PGA Tour events, and it's like, come on, man! Like, we got to figure this out. I need
you got the best of the best. You know what I meant to mention to you guys, RJ? Can I mention something here?
Sure.
Or you want me to save it till later?
No.
So you'll appreciate this, and I forget who it was, but you know these stories really get to me. So there's a golfer who had brain cancer.
Yeah.
And who is that? Do you know who that is?
I do.
So he had brain cancer, and they showed, like, they thought he was going to die, and he made, like, these videos for his kid. He had young kids.
He had to write them letters, too.
Yeah, and his wife was weeping about it, and I get they went into the surgery, and he's okay now.
He's playing in the Masters.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I'll root for him. Oh. If I find out I will root for him. What a story.
I know who
well,
it is, too.
Google it. If you just
no,
Google
I don't need to Google it. I know who it is.
But you can't remember.
It's Gary Woodland.
There you go. The Woodlands.
That would have drove me crazy.
I totally understand why. But what a... I mean, you saw that piece
I
they
saw
did?
It.
What a story.
It's unbelievable, man.
What an emotional story. So this is an interesting... You guys take it however you want. Why not stream it on Zoom? So only the guys can see it, they record it, then they edit it, then they release it of you watching the Giants.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's on the table.
Not a bad idea.
It's not
again,
bad.
I'll leave it up to you guys.
By the way, Gary Woodland, who we mentioned teeing off at 11:18, some of the new tee times, in case you are interested. Phil's at 12:06, Justin Thomas, 12:48. John Rahm, 1 o'clock now. Xander, 1:12. Tiger's at 3:54. There's some big names like Jordan.
Yeah, but isn't I think it's supposed to rain later.
Know what's funny? I was going to ask you that. I was like, no. I'm going to ask what the forecast is, and then they're going to yell at me.
Chance of rain at like why would we after you? 4 tomorrow.
The weather doesn't look great overall.
There's some big names late, too. Tiger's 354. Jason Day's in his group. Brian Harman's 406. Brooks is 406.
I brought up the hourly weather in Augusta, Georgia. Would you like to hear it?
Look at you.
Wow, it's nice.
By the way, RJ, Brooks Koepka not happy. I've heard.
Why?
With his group.
Why?
Brian Harman and Tom Kim.
Because Brian Harman does like the 20 waggles before every shot.
Slow player.
Very slow.
It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look terrible. I'm looking today. After 9 o'clock is kind of the peak. 78% chance precipitation. 10 o'clock, 34%. Then it goes down to 15, 14, 9. No, they should.
What about 4 p.m.-ish?
4 p.m.-ish, 5%.
Okay.
Later is worse. After 5, it goes up to 15, 7 o'clock, 24. But
what time are we looking at sunset?
Sunset, 7:50.
Ah.
So tomorrow looks fine as well.
Okay.
Well, those last two groups, then we actually get to knobs. Those are some heavy hitters. It's Jordan, Thagala, and Ludwig, and then DJ, Fleetwood, and Morikawa.
Did you say Hegala?
Thagala.
Thagala.
Who is that? I don't know who that is.
It's a person.
Well, you don't watch tennis. You don't watch golf.
But I know most of the golfers. No, who's Thagala?
It's an up-and-comer.
I'm not familiar with his work.
I could name.
Uh-huh.
RJ, what percentage of the players on the PGA Tour you think he knows now?
Percentage?
Yeah.
Like he could name or I'd name to him.
No, you could name to him. Like, okay, I've heard. If he was being honest, I would. Yep, that guy I know.
7%.
Right.
Of golfers?
Things have changed.
Things have changed.
No, I bet you I could name more than that. You'd say you name a golfer. Let's see if I know who he is.
Minwoo Lee.
Never heard of him.
good start.
Real or fake golfer?
Nick Dunlap.
I think I've heard of him, but I don't feel overly confident.
No, you haven't.
Well, just the names we talked about are real players.
Like, Earl Hamm.
Harman, I know.
You know Brian Harman?
Yep.
Cam Young?
Nope.
You didn't know Thagala?
Nope.
Ludwig?
No, that sounds made up.
He's one of the good
young players. Honestly, is there a Ludwig, or are you trying to sell me on that?
No, he's one of the good young
Steve
players.
Steve Ludwig?
No, Ludwig's his first name.
Ludwig von Beethoven.
All right. See, here's a problem.
He hits the ball a mile.
Here's a problem. Ludwig? I'm going to start talking, and then I know what's going to happen here in about 15 seconds.
Right.
So what I'm going to do, Dave?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to walk it right up to you because I'm going to get cut off by the legal ID, which is just the fame it's taken on inside the walls of ESPN is noteworthy.
Well, people love it. What I've done is I've taken a nothing and I've made it into a something. I think right there. That's
a nothing?
That's, yeah. Just
Austin Eckler.
No.
No chance.
Did you say Austin Eckler?
Eckler, I know, but I don't know Austin Eckler.
All right.
You got one more? You got one more? Give me one more.
Harris English.
No.
No. Patrick Cantlay.
Yes, because nice. Every time I hear that name, I think like, oh, that's an odd name.
Xander Schauffele.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Look heard of you. Him. All right, RJ, this is what you want. This is what you'll get. You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN WEPN-FM. Where? Where? Where?
New York.
See how nice that is, RJ?
That was nice. That was nice.
I was mid-sip, too.
I know, but I waited.
Battled through it.
By the way, when you were swirling around your drink like you so oddly
I want my own studio.
Everyone hears
I
it.
I want my own studio.
Raymond says in my ear, he goes, what is that noise?
This has never happened before.
It's a mouth tornado.
that was with my mouth, yeah. They don't mix it right.
He puts his tongue in the opening and swirls it around. Right.
I'm out.
RJ,
honestly, now you're doing it. I'm out.
When something works,
it's what it is.
I'm out.
Greg McElroy, he was on This Is Football.
He puts his tongue.
I'm out. I'm done.
Very descriptive.
Is it? It's the opening of the coffee.
Now, when you had coffee,
I'm going to have my fruit. You guys continue with your innuendos. Listen,
it's an accurate depiction. Where your mind takes it is not my problem.
The fact that this comes with different grapes every time is unbelievable.
No, I noticed there were green grapes.
There's green grapes today.
Yeah.
But these are big grapes.
The size of that grape.
Yeah. You're talking about big grapes now.
Give that thing the tornado.
I need sacks.
Where were we? Greg McElroy. So he was on This Is Football, and he spoke about why he has concerns about Caleb Williams.
I look at all the players that have been drafted, number one, number two, number three, way up there near the top of the draft, and seldom are the guys that ultimately go on to become elite players. Every single one of them has a gigantic chip on their shoulder. They're mad at the world, or they create some type of false narrative about themselves that people don't believe in them. Caleb Williams has never had that. I mean, Caleb Williams, from the time he stepped on campus at Oklahoma to the time he stepped on campus at SC, he has never experienced adversity. Very little adversity as far as how he was received and how he was portrayed as the next best guy.
So,
I don't know that that's fair, by the way.
Well, I guess you can decide.
Well, it's the point of contention here with this next little...
That's right. So, that was heard by Caleb Williams. And he responded on Twitter. So let's go back again because I'm bored right now. Adversity, and he defined it as a state of instance or serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. So then he listed off the adversity he has faced. Didn't start my freshman year. 2, popped my hamstring in the championship game first quarter, lost because of it. And 3, went 7-5 my last year of college football. I kind of get what Greg is going for.
I don't like what Greg
says.
He was
in the stands crying with his mom.
Yeah, I get what he's going for because a lot of quarterbacks do come from non-traditional football powers. Like we talked about Drew Brees earlier, Purdue, like Big Ben, Miami of Ohio, even Aaron Rodgers, Cal. Cal's not a football power. But I don't know that that's true. If you watched USC this year, their offensive line was bad.
Horrendous.
Their defense,
and like Mel said, they didn't have any. Did Eli Manning have tremendous adversity? I don't remember tremendous adversity.
Outside of living, in his brother's shadow, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a different situation. His brother and his father's shadow because he went to where his father went.
Right.
And I mean that SC defense, woohoo!
No,
bad.
as bad as there was in college football.
I'm not saying that he was playing at Boise State or some directional school, but Caleb Williams didn't have it super easy.
And you know what else I don't like about that? You never know what adversity people are going through behind the scenes. Like to say this is a kid that's never had adversity, unless you know that factually, that's not fair to say.
Yeah, and he had Jerry Rice's kid, who'll probably be a day 2, maybe 3 pick. But right. how many USC?
Well, Addison was gone. I mean, the year he had that great season where Mel was talking about him being the first overall pick after that year.
Yeah. And one of like the highest graded quarterbacks in the history of the NFL draft.
I mean, how many USC guys you see mocked in the first 2 or 3 rounds here?
Not a lot.
No.
Yeah, but by the way, though, that doesn't necessarily mean like the adversity stuff, too, is. I mean, you can always, forget just not going to a powerhouse school. Like Tom Brady used the adversity as, I'm a 6th round draft pick. I had to wait till the 6th round. Losing his job in college to Drew Henson. Like, you can, it doesn't always have to be a certain kind of adversity.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, maybe you had an issue at home. Maybe an issue with your parents. Maybe there is no way that anybody goes through life with no adversity. No. There's just no way.
And by the way, he's going to an offense with real tools.
Right. Now, I would have some question as to how he handles the adversity.
Sure.
Like when he climbs into
the sand different.
And cries.
Sure.
Cries with his mom. I don't know how well that will play.
Right. So, Greg McElroy was not the only one to bring up some questions or have some harsh words for a quarterback prospect. Merrill Hodge was on the Patriots Talk podcast, and he is not a fan of Drake May.
The May kid will get you fired. I wouldn't touch him. Processing and accuracy. I cannot think of somebody as erratic as I have seen. I mean, in every level. People bring up Josh Allen all of the time. Mm-hmm. They are 100% incorrect.
Not a fan. So I bring that to you, Dave, because I've outlined the situation off air, but I'll bring it on air now. If there's a world, I don't know how likely it is, but if there's a world where Drake May's on the board at 6, Your thoughts?
I want him.
Okay.
Absolutely. And again,
the Giants take him at six.
Like, there's no way he's going to last to six with the Giants. I'd find that very hard to believe.
No, I think that there's a lot of people that I've heard, I try to consume everything for the show, that have this idea that in most drafts, we see where there's one quarterback that ends up sliding.
You think he could be the guy?
Well, it feels like Mel just told us that it was going to be Caleb and Jaden Daniels.
Are going to go
1-2. And now it seems like McCarthy's
shooting up the board a little bit.
Listen, and the more you hear about Drake May,
there's enough
people
with opinions with podcasts that you're going to be able to find. I mean, people don't like Caleb Williams. People don't like Drake May. Nobody likes J.J. McCarthy. People are down on Bo Nix. There's issues with Penix. You're going to find people that love and hate every quarterback.
But the other
here.
Thing I would say to McElroy, too, it's not necessarily like the adversity that you go through. We all go through some sort of adversity, right? Like maybe you have like one of these, you know, one of these unbelievable college careers or whatever it is where it doesn't seem like there is much adversity. Like Trevor Lawrence had an unbelievable, I mean, I don't know how many games he lost in high school, was the number one guy to college and everything else. But I think the most important thing is just like once you take that next step, once you're the first overall pick, how do you handle that? How do you handle the pressure? How do you handle like realizing that I still have to get better? Like just because you get drafted first overall doesn't mean you've arrived. You know what I mean? Like it's those guys that become the greatest is because they're never satisfied. Like yeah, I was a high pick, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
I still have to get better. I think that's the more important thing.
I agree.
It's a good point. I'll take Caleb Williams on my team any day.
Right.
Any day.
But there's people that don't like Caleb Williams. There's people that don't like Jaden Daniels. Yeah. I mean, you could find anybody across the board. There's always going to be people that, you know, dislike some of these guys.
The fear is that they're so talented that they don't put in the work to make sure they stay the best.
Like I think that's important.
Like Michael Vick, how awesome he was. And you ask him now, like, what was your biggest regret? Well, my playbook was in the trunk because I was just so good I could go on strictly talent. Like, that's not going to get it done at the next level, just talent.
Mm-mm.
So, are you familiar with Jonathan India?
The infielder from the Reds.
That's right.
Was he rookie of the year?
I think so.
If he wasn't rookie of the year, he was certainly up there. Yeah.
You guys are very smart. So, he was on foul territory, and he spoke about his father's priorities when it comes to watching his own games.
Watches the Met games and then tapes the Reds games. So he doesn't even watch our Reds games live. He fast-forwarded it through the whole game, records my bats and sends them to me. It's so funny. He watches the Met games and then like at 11 o'clock at night watching our game. I'm like, dude, the game's over, man. Like, and I'm like, hey, what'd you think about my at-bat? He goes, I didn't see it yet.
That's very odd. And that comes from me. Now, what the father needs is the two TV setup.
He could use the two TV, but he wants to be focused on the Mets, though.
Well, you put the Mets on the big TV, right, put your son on a little TV, and then when he comes up to bat, then you jump onto that game.
Yeah, but maybe his idea is that I want to be so focused on the Mets and I want to be so focused on the Reds that I can't do both.
That's odd.
Well, listen, Saquon Barkley's dad said he'd root for the Jets.
There are more people
over,
like
over
your
the
alley.
Eagles.
There's more people out like Dave.
No, over the Giants.
Yeah, over the Giants.
No, but now over the Eagles.
Well, no, over the Eagles now, but... Yeah, that's wild.
He was NL Rookie of the Year in 2021, by the way.
There's more people out there like you, David.
That's right.
Credit
Maybe
for.
What I'm doing is I'm giving those people
a platform. Yeah.
Like, you always thought it was odd to be like this. No. Put my arm around you and I'll welcome you into the crazy world of fandom. That's what we do.
It is what you do. You know what Wayne Randazzo does? You remember him.
The old Mets announcer.
Yeah, well, now he's the television play-by-play man for the Angels. Nice gig. And
he used to have like the old style sounding voice.
Yeah.
I liked Wayne Randazzo. I thought he was good.
I like his voice. So he has a problem.
Sounds like Brockmire.
Yeah. I like that show.
It's a nice show.
So the Angels have a rookie named Nolan Shanawell. And he had a 36-game hit streak. He had that hit streak ended without playing in a game. So you're saying...
Wait, what?
Yeah, you're saying, what are you saying?
Yeah, explain.
So Major League Baseball went back and retroactively ruled one of Shanawell's singles from a couple of games ago, which is odd, an error. And if you watch it, it looked like a single. It did not look like an error. That means retroactively. They went back and turned it over. They overruled the scorer like days later. So 36-game hit streak. Over. And that led Mr. Wayne Randazzo to take aim at Major League Baseball.
Negative story after negative story, scandal after scandal, a fiasco in Oakland. You have these ridiculous looking jerseys. You have the MLBPA challenging the league about the pitch clock today because of
constant pitcher injuries, and yet, not to mention your global superstar is embroiled in a betting scandal. But on top of all of that, you have a young player trying to make a name for himself who has come up and reached base safely in every single game that he has played. And the league allows this scoring change to go on to end his streak, kill this story, a positive story that's happening in Major League Baseball. It is an absurdity.
Wayne Randazzo, very comfortable.
We've got to pay the fiddler.
it's an on-base streak, though. It's not a hitting streak.
Right.
Right.
Very comfortable.
Because he's only got two hits.
I understand why he's mad.
He has two hits, but he's reached base every game?
Nolan Shanawell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's currently hitting 065.
But what's his on-base percentage? 500?
Must be pretty decent.
Yeah. He's freaking out about a guy that has two hits.
He's not happy.
Wait, I'm so confused. I thought you said he had a 36-game hitting streak.
So sorry, it must be.
No, he's got eight walks. He's got two hits, eight walks, and his on-base percentage is 268.
It goes back to last year.
Like it's Corey Seager who's got a 36-game hitting streak and everyone's celebrating.
Yeah.
That's a little misguided from...
On-base streak.
Okay. Because
He played 29 games last season.
Yeah. And you know people with the on-base streak, so they can't get enough of those. Right?
Cass Matsui.
Three home runs in a row opening day.
Pete Fairbanks. He's a reliever for the Rays. You remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we somehow got talking about the humidors and how two stadiums have them?
Yes, the Diamondbacks and the Rockies.
So the latter of which you just mentioned, Pete Fairbanks has a very big problem with the baseballs that are coming out of the humidor in Colorado.
Maybe you didn't like some of the balls that were coming in.
Yeah, they were horrible. You can mark that down, all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it.
No excuses. They were horrible.
And you can write that.
I like how he said horrible.
Maybe you didn't like some of the balls that were coming in.
Yeah, they were horrible. You can mark that down, all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it.
Can we isolate the first horrible, that way when something terrible happens, we can play that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Horrible.
That's coming from the heart. Like, he really meant that.
Yeah,
horrible.
I mean, you could hear it actually came, like, down from his chest area. Like,
it was like when you were choking the other day.
That's right. Yeah. On a fly or a gnat.
That wasn't good. I was concerned about you.
You were not concerned?
Yeah.
Because it was after the fact. Had you been there at the time.
Oh, I had been really concerned.
You would have been very upset with what happened.
I mean, if I'm just sitting there and then I look over and see and hear this.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Oh, those bugs.
There's a lot going on with that clip.
Yep.
A lot.
That's one of those like years down the road, it'll be misconstrued about what was actually
really
happening.
Really? What are you going to play it? And people are going to think what, RJ?
That you were choking on
a banana.
Popcorn.
Popsicle.
You mean popcorn?
Popcorn.
Yeah.
Popsicle.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Chad Ochocinco was a guest on the Roommate Show, which I highly recommend. Very good.
That's the Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart vehicle.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Very good. So, Chad Johnson, I don't know if you, when he was Chad Johnson, he's Ochocinco now, but when he was Chad Johnson, he was pretty well known for his diet.
All McDonald's.
He was very serious about this. He didn't drink.
It's disgusting. You ever see that movie, Super Size Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the guy eats only McDonald's. And they're like, you're going to die.
It was Big Macs.
So,
Ochocinco, for every meal.
He doesn't drink, drugs, none of that. But that's his vice, I guess. All McDonald's all the time.
Yep.
So, Josh Hart was talking about how he was, trying to get some energy going for a game, and he was with Ochocinco that day and had some advice for him.
I'm like, yeah, I was tired, bro. He was like, what you eat today? I'm like, grilled chicken, rice, some healthy stuff. He's like, that's your problem. Go to McDonald's, get you some McDonald's, take you half a Viagra before the game.
And you're good.
And you good.
Wait, that's why he was tired.
Wait.
Half a Viagra.
I think you're bearing the lead here.
Get the blood flowing.
It's not the McDonald's.
No, you open up those blood vessels.
So that's
and then you walk around the court with an erection.
No,
that's
Trumbull. So I didn't
Devonta
cut it.
Sabonis be like, oh, how you doing?
So I didn't cut it, but both of those angles were brought up. Josh Hart said, hey, doesn't that cause a little bit of too much blood flow? And Ochocinco went on to say, that's why it's half. And like Rick said, gets the blood flowing and it actually gives you a boost of energy. I wanted to ask Rick, does this check out? Anyone who did this?
Before a game, no. I did play with a guy who actually took one the night before and then had a situation where...
Don't they say
that
four?
That sounds horrifying.
Yeah, 4 to 6 hours.
4 to 6 hours. Yeah. He probably had to call that number.
That was well past the 6 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there was a movie that happened in.
I'm sure it happened. Sure
No. I'm serious. It was that sound you made was also in the movie.
Is it called the movie or is it called a film, Dave?
No, it's a movie, and it was with Chris Rock.
It's saved on the phone. What the name of the movie was? Text folder.
I Think I Love My Wife was the name of the movie.
Right. Yeah, I bet it was.
Starring John Kelly. Starring
what?
George Clooney.
Would be an elite porn director.
No,
you know what? Because you guys always have your minds in the gutter. It was a legitimate movie.
I remember that movie.
It was with Chris Rock, and I believe Kerry Washington was in it as well, and he took a Viagra, and it wouldn't go down.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never taken anything.
Well, you got to stick a needle in it to...
You got to release the blood. That's what they did. Yeah. In the ambulance, after they came, they had to release the blood.
You know who else?
Seek medical help.
You know who else was in it?
Tara Reid and her bosom popping out.
No. You know who else was in that movie?
I don't.
Someone at ESPN.
Really?
Stephen A. Smith.
I was going to say, it seems like a Stephen A. vehicle.
Yep. He was like one of the friends.
Was Quentin Grimes in it?
Quentin Grimes, no. He was on the Knicks at that point.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I got a deal with some dude named Hartenstein.
Taking an Uber to and from your own bank robbery.
Did it happen?
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
In Florida.
The Florida Panthers, I was coaching.
Yeah,
you don't care.
No.
Still doesn't care. So, this story I actually found borderline troubling, but I have to bring it to you.
Where'd you get it from?
I can't tell you. Might give it away.
You can't tell us where you got it? Like, who gave it to you?
Well, no one gave it to me. I found it.
Okay. This is your own baby.
I found it in the New York Post, if you must know.
Because oftentimes you will be like, oh, I got somebody. This from, you know.
No, this is an original.
Okay.
So, identity theft. Real thing. But I must tell you the story. Of a former hot dog vendor.
Uh-oh.
So, this man's a vendor, and he was living out of his van. There's actually somebody in the city who has, like, a spot, like this city. This is not where this story comes from, but has a spot marked out, lives out of his van because he doesn't want to lose a spot.
But there's a man that lives in the city that...
Lives in a van.
Lives in a van solely so he can keep the spot?
There was. Yeah.
Okay.
I could send you that story. That's not this one, though. In this one, as you can imagine, probably does a lot of cash transactions, not exactly a... You know, a W-2 kind of job, being a hot dog vendor. So this man...
Well, I will tell you this, though. A lot of hot dog vendors now take, like, other forms of payment.
Oh, it's on the books. Mm-hmm. So this man, though, he went to jail for 428 days. And he was inside a hospital, like a psychiatric hospital, for 147 additional days. Why, you might ask? And what does this have to do with anything? So he had his identity stolen.
Oh, no.
And he was the only one that knew. Bit of a loner, this man. And he went one day to do some banking and couldn't get into any accounts, couldn't get into anything. Had his identity stolen, couldn't answer any of his own security questions, even though he knew all his information, because a different man stole his identity and changed all security questions to his liking. So this poor man, because he's talking and telling everyone...
You must feel like you're losing your mind if that's the case.
Well, there you go. So he is going on and on and on. He goes, no, you don't understand. This is me. To the point where they actually got the police involved saying, this man is actually now trying to steal someone else's identity.
Oh, my God.
And he got sent to jail for over a year and in a psych ward for a total of a year and a half. Because
why would they send him to a psych ward?
Because he kept telling everyone.
He's like, I'm Joe Smith. They're like, oh, God.
That's exactly right. So... This person who stole his identity in the time that he had it got married and actually had a child and was working under the name. So
how did they figure out that it wasn't this guy?
He stole his entire life.
So
this guy, not only did he steal his life, he had him imprisoned for telling people that was his life.
That's right. So hot dog vendor eventually gets out and finds someone to take up his case and says, all right, we're going to match your DNA with your biological father. So then they consult.
They had to use DNA?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
So this is after he's been in jail. So then they get with the guy who is the perp here, who has stolen the identity. And that's finally when they are able to link up that, no, the hot dog vendor, this is who he really is. And they get it all sorted out, finally.
There's got to be some kind of reparations for this guy,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
retribution, the very least.
I think that's still being sorted out. But they've switched places now. Now the guy that stole his identity, now he's in jail. And the other guy's out of jail.
Well, that's good. Now he's got to go to jail for at least 429 days.
Oh, I'd think minimum, yeah. Yeah. So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
See, this is probably
it seems
probably just
too elaborate.
This is probably just Tuesday in Florida. Like, this is like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. That's right. I've been in prison.
I got to tell you, I haven't seen many hot dog vendors
in Florida. So this is going to have to be a major. Yeah, but you know what?
I'd venture to say this is out of the country.
No. I would say this country.
I'm saying not Florida.
Not Florida. I'm going to say somewhere western area of this country. Is where I would go.
I'm going to say not Florida. Feel good about it.
Okay.
I as well.
Definitely not Florida, though.
But I would say this country.
So you're all correct.
Yes.
This country, Dave, pretty good. I will tell you Southwest. Care to, only because you led us down this path.
Vegas.
Pretty close. New Mexico.
How about that?
How does that happen?
Yeah, true story.
This poor guy. So he's got to wind up getting money, right?
I'd hope so. I would hope so. But
so he's like, he's in a psych ward. They have him in like the straitjacket. He's like, I'm telling you, I'm Steve.
you laugh. That's kind of how it went out.
And they're like, this guy's crazy. this Steve. Okay.
Who's the
okay? Okay, Steve.
Who's is it? Albert Breer, the NFL personality, likes to say, "There will be lawyers."
That's Andrew Brandt.
Andrew Brandt,
rather. Yeah. There will be lawyers.
There will be, and there are lawyers, and that is DHIF.
Like that. That's. Here's what I'll say. I could see them making like a feature movie out of it, like a full movie out of this.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's an unbelievable
story. I'm interested
story.
To read the actual story. It's wild.
I mean, Dave told you about the movies he watched earlier. So.
Right. I Think I Love My Wife. It's a real movie.
Hot dog vendor would make sense in his movies.
You know, you guys.
How did they get the DNA? This is how. Cue the choking sound.
You guys done?
RJ could be. Oh, there it is. There it is.
I got a text. All right, forget it. You guys stink. Tell me when you're done. I'll let you guys go ahead. You laugh, you giggle, you send it back and
the
forth.
The chance where your dink isn't perfect.
All right, we're done.
You sure?
How was jail, Steve?
Oh, man, I locked myself out of my phone.
What did you wear while you were in prison?
I'm the fat second thought of the station.
No, that's not what I
wanted. How did you lock yourself out?
Too many attempts.
I got so much going on.
And too many attempts at the password.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, three attempts. I didn't get it.
Three attempts?
Mm-hmm.
So now what?
I got to wait a minute.
15 minutes.
But I was trying to look at this, so I got a text from someone that said, why would anybody lie about being a hot dog vendor?
No,
that's not exactly something that people lie about.
No, he didn't lie about his occupation. He just figured this is an easy mark to rip off his identity because he doesn't do a lot of work that he would notice.
He probably took out a ton of money in his name.
Oh, it took out tons of loans as well, yeah.
Oh, really?
Tons, yeah. Ruined his life.
This poor guy. There's going to be retribution for this guy.
And a movie.
I would watch that
film.
Movie. You laugh. That's they did a movie called like Men Who Stare at Goats. You ever see that? That was George Clooney was in that movie. They thought like guys in war used to be able to like telekinetically like disrupt the opposition.
You are
like staring at them.
You are very familiar with George's catalog.
She was in a movie where she like had a child abducted, Chang-a-ling or something. All right, are we done? Raymond, can we stop here, please?
I mean, we can.
What else you got?
Nah, I'm good for now.
We have so many. We have so many that you can barely read what's in it because they're so clumped together.
Yeah, I actually had to do some condensing a couple days ago.
Yeah, we need a new page.
Take out.
I want my son back.
Changeling.
Are we done? Are we done?
Man, the staring goats.
Look it up.
Yes, that was a George Clooney.
I'm telling you, it was a big release.
I remember the trailers. I thought, wait, is this legitimate?
You know what? Honestly, and this is true, and then we'll break. The honest to goodness true problem is I'm too smart. I'm
they
too
did a
intelligent.
Movie called, like Men Who Stare at Goats.
I'm too bright. I'm too smart. And my level of intellect dazzles the three of you every day.
Far above ours.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
So far above we can't.
I got the working
buddy of wits who played the NHLs.
Buddy Newitz.
No, a buddy of wits.
Oh,
I got the working title for the movie, the Hot Dog Deception.
You laugh all you want. When they make this movie,
right,
you'll be like, you know what? That was his idea.
Great idea, Dave.
Back in the day. All right, let's break. We'll come back. Aaron.
Yes. That was Dave in the movie.
That was, I could play the title role. Aaron Are you done?
No.
Man who's staring goes.
Look at RJ.
I have to involve the hot dog.
Look at RJ. He's tearing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you have that fruit, half a Viagra.
But I don't need the Viagra.
Flying.
The fruit on its own made me feel good.
I'm just saying for that extra little.
The last thing you want me to do is have Viagra.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it goes.
Good.
Could. I mean, I take the sweatshirt off. Who knows?
That's right.
And I don't want to do that to you.
I understand. Have you ever had a Viagra? I never had one. You have. Your delayed response means that you clearly have.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that would be a thought. Like, I was never told that. Like, I've told you the story before about my first pro game where guys are passing around energy pills. And I was like, oh, what are those? And they told me, like, so I took some of those, like, give you a little added extra energy. I never heard the, when I was playing.
The Viagra?
For a game.
Right. I don't know.
Interesting.
I have no idea.
I mean, that's a football thing.
All right. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the I Can Fly pod. And we'll get to your calls as well, 1-800-919-3776. And getting hurt made him wonder if his career, in fact, was done.
I was heartbroken on September 11th in the locker room thinking my career might be over. Mm. And that's how I'm going to go out. After all the beauty in the summer and Hard Knocks and a new team and just being in New Jersey and the excitement, talking with our amazing fan base and just feeling just the energy and the momentum building and then that. I look back now and so much changed in my life for the better. And I often have a hard time with people who say, everything happens for a reason. Just got to trust it. Sometimes I call bullshit on that.
Yeah.
Part of it is the ego wanting things to just be a little bit easier sometimes.
Well, I'm sure that in the moment and the rehab and everything and missing the year and watching Zach Wilson, I'm sure all that was awful for him. But now in retrospect, and it's a year of your life that you're at the tail end of your career that's got to stink to miss. But now, I think he's probably it's a motivating factor for him. And I imagine you're going to see a very good version of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we need a very good version of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's as easy as he's making it sound. Like all the things that you, or as easy as you just made it sound, like all the things that are involved with the actual injury, all the work he puts in before the injury.
Right.
To run out with the American flag.
I don't think it was easy at all.
No, I know, but like, there's a lot of people that would still say, I would have rather, like, for all the things that, like, were beneficial during this time where I'm rehabbing and all the things I learned from always, you can keep them.
Of course.
Don't need them. I would have rather play.
Of course you'd rather play, and the fan base would rather he plays, and he would rather play. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you go through the muck and mire what real life offers, and you come out on the other side, and you're a better version of yourself because of it. Like, he seems like a guy that really looks at the positivity.
Right, he's very introspective.
Right, and he wants to kind of, this happened for a reason.
I guess my point was I would have a hard time finding many positives.
And I'm sure there are not a lot of positives, but I think you have to. Like, you know, like I do that all the time with stuff. It's like there's not a lot of positive, but if you have to find a positive in every situation, otherwise you'll get defeated by life.
I understand what you're saying, and especially to get through something, you know, like a season-ending injury when you had all the hopes and expectations and everything else.
Right.
Just like, but the notion that like everything happens for a reason, hopefully that's true. Like this happened for a reason. He learned a lot
about
himself.
But maybe it is.
And made him better, and he's, you know, he's better off for it. I just would be, I don't know, like having gone through all of this myself with the injuries and everything else. Yeah, like, I mean, there are things I learned along the way, but if I could have went back.
Of course.
And not had the injury, you can keep all the little extra things that I've learned.
Still not over how crushing getting injured was 4 plays into the season.
did a darkness retreat. I came out of the darkness, and basically my time in Green Bay was up. I did ayahuasca, and then a week later I got traded to the Jets. And I have this incredible off-season experience in a new city, in a new town, with new teammates, a new organization, an owner for the first time, and really falling back in love with the game that I first fell in love with when I was 5 years old. And it was absolutely beautiful and special and deep and rich and yummy and just incredible. And then one of the most heartbreaking nights of my life, when I played four plays. Talk about an ego death. That's what it was.
And you can understand that. I mean, to be so ready and so geeked up and so motivated for the season.
Is that an ego death? I mean, is that an ego death?
I don't know if it's an ego. Well, I guess for him it was. I mean, he's being honest with you. I think it is a strange phrase, right? Ego death, because it shouldn't be. I mean, it was the team. It was, but yeah, you know what? There's some ego in everything.
Right, but I don't know if it's, I mean, would I say that, you know, my ego took a shot because I got hurt? No, I mean, I missed the season. Like, it wasn't my intention was to go get hurt.
For him it was.
Well, listen, I mean, his mindset is special.
I mean, listen, he's not normal, right? And I don't even mean that as a bad thing.
No, but I think part of, like, this new version of Aaron Rodgers, like, I've seen, like, when I first met him, is not the same person that he is now, but there is, I even heard Jordan Poyer talking about this, like the whole point of going and doing the ayahuasca and these retreats and everything else is to have this newfound gratitude in your life, right? To be thankful for whatever it is, your family, your career, all these different things. So I guess as part of that mindset, you would say, okay, you know, this happened, but let's make sure that I take all of it, like make sure I get something positive out of it.
Well, you have to. If you can't take something positive out of every situation, it's going to be very tough because there's a lot of negativity in life.
I understand that, but I don't know if I would this would be one of the situations where I would take much positive out of.
Well, fair.
I just burnt the year of my career.
And I don't know that I would use the phrase an ego, you know, whatever it was. I mean, ego is it's very kind of a selfish sounding word to me.
Well, but not even that. Like, if you play bad, like if you go in with like if this season turned out where he was, you know, all the things that he expected, all the work that he put in, and he plays a season and he stinks, I can understand how that would affect your ego. Like, it wasn't good.
Right.
But to just, like, to have a freak accident where you take a step with someone draped all over you and your Achilles pops, I don't know. Like, Adam, does that affect your ego?
I guess for him it does. And also when you're, and you know this, like, when your whole being is tied up in a certain thing, right? Like, when it's just like your whole life is, not whether right or wrong, like, your whole life is hockey. And that's like,
well, my identity, your identity becomes.
Okay, so when your whole identity is radio or a sport or your family or whatever it is, and that gets changed or there's a negative there, maybe it does affect your ego. I don't know.
Well, I think he's moved away from that mindset, though. I think that's why he has all these other interests outside of football, to make sure that his identity isn't just football.
Right, I agree with that. And he did say he's coming back as a better version of himself.
So much happened in my life the last 6 months that never would have happened had I been healthy. I wish things had been different for myself, for the organization, for our fans, for so many players I love playing with. But I'm also very grateful for the many lessons and the ego death. And the phoenix rising from the ashes, a better version of myself.
I'd say what, like him or dislike him, he's an interesting guy.
No, he is. And he's got a very interesting perspective on his life, his career, and everything else. I mean, maybe it's kind of just having the ability now to, like he does mention going into the darkness retreat where he was, what do you say, 90% retired before he went in.
Right.
Comes out, finds out he can't imagine not being, you know, being in the NFL and playing football, which is, it's... After a darkness retreat, I haven't been a part of a darkness retreat, but like you could think that, and that maybe is what you talk yourself into, but now having the opportunity to actually be away from football for a full year, right after you fall back in love with it.
Yep.
Then to have it ripped away from you again, I guess.
It's got to be torturous. And then this is the one that made RJ chuckle on being considered for vice president for RFK Jr.
That's what I feel like Bobby can give us, is that hope that life can be different. And just the fact that I was mentioned, you know, I'm sure people are like, oh, he has no, you know, political experience. How's that worked out so far? How's that worked out in our government? All these bums who've been in government forever, who are insider trading like crazy, lining their pockets during their terms and post-career. How's that working out?
Well, it's a fair point with that.
Sounds like he was a little interested.
Whatever. I mean, he should have probably squashed it quicker.
I know, but I think you understate the kind of honor that would be. If it was something you were that interested in, and you had that strongly, like you were that opinionated about
right.
it, and have done all the research to bring up the things that he brings up, especially with, you know, all the other stuff with the medicine and everything else. And then you got someone says to you, hey, would you consider being my running mate? That's a humongous deal.
Yeah, it's a big honor.
As you get towards the end of your other career, hey, how am I going to fall off this football career? And someone offers you the chance to be
the only thing is, and I really don't want to get political, and I don't think I am overly, like, he would have no chance to win.
No, right, but I'm just saying, like, if that was something you were interested in, to be offered the opportunity, just kind of out of nowhere,
out of left field, yeah. I didn't even know he had the desire to get into that. Nicholas Cara tweets in, ego death is a hallucinogenic term often associated with hitting rock bottom while tripping. So given that you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, likely that's the metaphor that he's...
So that was his rock bottom.
Right.
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
Okay. So there you go.
It got to be even harder just because you fell back in love with it. You know what I mean? It's like something you thought
fell back in love. Now it's ripped away. Maybe that's why he says, I don't want to play just 1 year. I want to go for multiple years.
Because he realizes how much he misses it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.